Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
So you've got the speaker going to Columbia to speak there to the students, Jewish students, other students, you know, just not the violent, hateful, bigoted students who want to burn it all down. The speaker has the support of President Trump when it comes to the legislation about funding for Ukraine, funding for Israel, funding for Taiwan. This funding has been signed into law by President Biden. And this is going to actually be utilized to replenish American stockpiles of ammunition. None of this helps Marjorie Taylor Greene, the congresswoman from Georgia, who hates Mike Johnson, the speaker, thinks of him as a traitor, and wants to engage a motion to vacate to get him out of the speaker position. Which would, of course, do Republicans no good and would leave them with such a vulnerable minority that you could see Speaker Hakeem Jeffries. Now, someone callously is going to note that the congressman from New Jersey passed away today, Donald Payne Jr., actually. He had suffered from heart problems. His late father was also a congressman, died in office as well. You could argue that Congressman Payne was a backbencher. Wasn't getting headlines, anything else. Represented, I think it was Newark in New Jersey. Didn't move the needle either way. Man dies. It's not a, okay, now we make our move. That's weird stuff. That is just a weird through line, because within the legislation that has passed, now you're going after TikTok. And TikTok is on the clock. They've got about, see that it rhymed, got about 15 months before they have to sell, if of course any of this legislation is constitutional. And all of this is in the backdrop of a presidential election where one of the candidates, the current president of the United States, is still saying things like this.
We're ready to move forward, not back. Are you ready to choose unity over division, dignity over hate, truth over lies? Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy, for democracy?
Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? It is the second time in a week he has said exactly the same thing. Did I say hello? Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. Good to be with you. 833-468-8669. That is the number. 833-GOT-TONY. It's the second time in a week he said exactly the same thing. Are you ready to choose freedom over democracy? The man doesn't know what he's saying. At any one minute, we often talk about how the fact that this has gotten beyond embarrassing. This is an issue. Everybody knows it. Well, if you didn't believe it before, if for some reason you didn't think it was real before, allow me to put an end to it. Allow me to share with you just how real it is. I swear to you, if you're operating heavy machinery, you might want to hold off.
Harris Biden administration.
You have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
Got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the go, you know the thing.
Say what?
This happened today. This, I could not make this up. I don't have that capacity. I don't have the skill set. If I were to have made this up, I would be sued for defamation. You would think that I was stealing from a movie. You would think I am making it up. But I have no ability to make this up. This was Joe Biden at an event today.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years. Pause.
No. It's not the four more years. He's reading directly off the teleprompter.
Imagine what we can do next. Four more years. Pause.
Four more years.
It said pause and wait for the cheering. But that's not what Joe Biden read.
Four more years. Pause. 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 Pause.
He read the pause. He read the pause.
Well, that's going to do it for all of us here at Channel 4 News. You stay classy, San Diego. I'm Ron Burgundy.
That's what happened. That's what happened. Read it right off the teleprompter. Had no idea he was supposed to pause for the applause line. Can we stop? Can we stop pretending that it's all fine and all okay? And can the people on the political right stop pretending that this guy is going to be the nominee? There is no possibility that Joe Biden is going to be the presidential nominee. I want to say this as clearly as I can. I love you. Without you, I do not have a career. Without you, I would not have the unbelievable joys I do in my life. Don't get me wrong, I still have my family, and they're pretty damn great. But I owe you much. If you think Joe Biden is going to be the nominee, you're out of your mind. No. We can still be friends. I just want such clarity. You're so wrong that it's almost embarrassing to look at you. But I'll do it just to tell you you're wrong. And if you're right, if you are right, and Joe Biden is the nominee, then I will be the first to say, oh my gosh, nothing matters. And then I will announce I'm running for every office forever. Because nothing matters. Up is down, left is a banana. There is absolutely nothing at all that matters anywhere.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
If Democrats run this decrepit old man who can't figure out he's reading off of a teleprompter.
Four more years. Pause.
Four more years.
And reading it like he is just about to die. Did you hear the tone of his voice?
Four more years. Pause.
Four more years.
If they run him, nothing matters. Everything is possible. Just go run for office. It doesn't matter. Just put out a sign that you are a brain surgeon. What does it matter? There are no rules. Insane to think that the Democrats can push this on America after all this, and Americans are going to say, yep. But Tony, abortion. It's the only thing that matters. It's the only thing they're running on. Whoever's the president is nothing more than a vessel for the party. Somebody pulling the strings, probably Barack Obama. It doesn't matter. He's a good vessel. Because literally that's all he is. Maybe. But in order for that to work, not only do they have to have every Democrat on board, they have to have every independent on board. And as we are learning, well, there's a couple of data points out there that want to show that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is taking more votes from Trump than Biden. I'm not personally a buyer into this, but they keep trying to put the points. it is very obvious that black voters and Latino voters are not so impressed with Joe and the Walking Skeleton Act. You think that that's rude? You think that that's rude? Okay, all right. Let me go prove my point.
Four more years. Pause.
I'll call him a walking skeleton anytime I want. Angry about it? 833-GOT-TONY. Go on. Explain to me why that's rude. Explain to me why I shouldn't be screaming elder abuse every second at Jill Biden and this whole damn administration. Please don't make me do it again.
Four more years. Pause.
But maybe you're right. Maybe it's just the vessel. And they don't care because as long as they can talk about abortion, they'll get the votes. Maybe they can just talk about Trump one more time. They'll get the votes. Maybe Trump will get convicted. Then they'll get the votes. By the way, I've not seen any proof of that. I know there are people talk about that, but I haven't seen proof that Trump getting convicted on any subject would mean that he won't get votes. I've heard the conversations. I've discussed it before that it might change where the electorate's at. Not now. You know how I know this?
Four more years.
And then there are the automatons. Yeah, four more years. Oh, he's so incredibly old. Four more years, yay. Oh, this is the best we can do. Good Lord. This is why I drink bourbon. That all happened today. Goodness gracious. Keep it here. I'm Tony Katz. Conversation that Jerry Seinfeld was involved in, I think, is fascinating. Because there's a truth to it, but everything that I see with Seinfeld involves this, involves an ego play. And what I think it comes from is that Jerry is in a very rare air that not only does he have the blank you money, he very much wants to say blank you to the vast majority of people. He wants to be that guy. Now, it's possible that he wants it for purpose, but that would be to know him better, and I don't know him at all. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. Certainly when you watch the show Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, what you see is a guy who has no interest in any other part of the world. He has interest in his world and his world alone. And his world alone is comics. He wants to talk to comedians. He wants to laugh with comedians. He's the only people, they're the only people he feels comfortable with, only people he clearly has any respect for. And everybody else can die in a fire. That's clearly where he's at. He says so. It is a disdain for the normies. I have never felt this way about radio hosts. A couple radio hosts I'm friends with. There's a vast number of radio hosts that they're never going to be over for dinner. I don't know. It's just the way it is. But also I've met comics that I like, and I've met comics that I wouldn't want to talk to ever. I don't want to hear from, because the comics that I have met, outsider one or two, the most miserable people in all the world, which I think is the point, right? The inner demon, the inner dragon, whatever it is. I actually think that's the same thing that makes a good host. I do, because I know for a fact that I have friends. I'm not an easy guy. I used to say ridiculous things like, I'm a very simple guy. Turns out, I am not a very simple guy. I am anything but a very simple guy. I might be the most unsimple guy that ever existed. I'm not. I'm an awkward, weirdo dude who absolutely needs to get these things out. There's a reason maybe I do 6 hours of radio a day. There's a reason I'm not a surgeon. You find yourself towards things that provide you with, you know, something that you actually need. Your soul is telling you. It's not always money, although money can be made. Jerry certainly proved that. But he's making a movie. The movie is called Unfrosted. It is the fictional account of the creation of Pop-Tarts. Okay. I don't know how much he got for the movie, but holy cow. Good Lord, he's making a movie about Pop-Tarts. And he's talking about the business, and he's talking about movies in general. And he's discussing the fact that the movie business is over. And his quote is, film doesn't occupy the pinnacle in the social cultural hierarchy that it did for most of our lives. When a movie came out, if it was good, we all went to see it. We all discussed it. We quoted lines and scenes we liked. Now we're walking through a fire hose of water just trying to see. I think he's referring to all the content that's coming at people. And if you think there's anything has replaced film, he goes, depression, malaise, disorientation replaced the movie business. Everyone I know in show business every day is going, what's going on? How do you do this? What are we supposed to do now? This is about clearly the finances. But what's interesting is how he starts it. Talking about making the movie, he said it was totally new to me. I thought I had done some cool stuff, but it was nothing like the way these people work. They're so dead serious. They don't have any idea that the movie business is over. They have no idea. Now, I can tell you that I speak with friends in California who have been in film and still have connections. The industry is dying because there is so much content that the money part of it is reduced because there's so many opportunities in so many places that you can't necessarily command the dollar figure that you used to. And people aren't interested in an opus when they can watch some Jake Paul nonsense video for 42 seconds. Look, here's a girl doing a ridiculous dance for 30 seconds. You know she can't dance. Yeah, but look at that bikini. And there's another click and there's another dollar. The industry is in disastrous shape. But what Jerry Seinfeld is saying is, these people don't even understand it. I understand, and they don't understand. Every time Jerry Seinfeld engages, it is about him having a knowledge that why don't these people understand it? Every time. Every time. And I don't know, I find that odd. And to an extent, off-putting. And it's not that I necessarily disagree. It's that I don't think it's coming from, hey, here's the issue. It's coming from, how are you so stupid as to not know the issue? It is this place of disdain. And the one thing that I don't think I have in the main is disdain. I don't know about you. I don't have a disdain for other people. I don't. I will tell you that the longer I get into this career, which I adore, what I get to do, the less I talk outside of it. Which is super strange. If you're somebody, you know somebody that I hang around with, I do less talking than anybody else in the group. I just do. I think I've done the talking. But with Jerry, I notice a disdain. I don't know if I noticed that in me. Maybe it's, I should take a look at it. But that said, I think he is right about film. And he's certainly right about the money. And certainly right about the industry. Video killed the film star. The radio star is still right here. Did he just call himself a star? This is Tony Katz today. So NASA's making a push for Saturn. And the reason why this matters is because they're spending a fair amount of money to get to Saturn. $3 billion. Should we? Is this what we should be doing? Does NASA provide a value in a world of SpaceX? Is this where our money belongs? Tony Katz. Tony Katz today, 833-468-8669. That is the number, 833-GOT-TONY. Get you to the same place. Everything is at TonyKatz.com. It's called Dragonfly. And the objective here is not specifically get to Saturn, but to one of the moons, a moon called Titan. The Dragonfly mission is to explore the largest moon of Saturn with a quadcopter drone. Get photos, get some analysis. $3 billion. There's been a lot of NASA talk over the past few days with really some nastiness for Bill Nelson. So Bill Nelson is a former senator. And Bill Nelson, Nebraska, right? And Bill Nelson is now the NASA administrator. I don't know what level of information he has or history he has, experience he has in this world, in this society, that he could be the NASA administrator, but neither here nor there. He is. This is his gig. He got confirmed. He's the guy. I think he got confirmed. Yeah. Yeah, that's a position that's Senate confirmed. He's a guy. And he was having a whole conversation about what China is doing and how China, through his claims, is conducting military experiments in space. This conversation was about China and a probe they sent to the dark side of the moon. Dun, dun, dun. The issue, of course, wasn't about the dark side of the moon. We don't know what's on the dark side of the moon. It's a very weird thing to say. I think Bill Nelson said that recently. It was like, okay, that's just awkward. The story here is, why would they send the probe? What is it that they want to do? Well, what they want to do is to be able to engage a level of colonizing of the moon. You say to me, that is insane. They want people to live on the moon. They don't trust that the Earth's going to be around. No, 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 no. That's not what it's about. It's about weaponization of space. It's about being able to utilize manned or unmanned spots on the moon to be able to very quickly and without warning go after enemies. Now, in the conversation about Mars, you have conversations about the moon. That why would you engage a launch to Mars from Earth when you could do it from the moon? There's actually a whole thing, moon to Mars architecture. You can get that at NASA.gov. We're designing a roadmap for long-term exploration of the lunar surface, our first steps on the red planet, and the journey beyond. You'd have an easier, you know, less gravitational pull heading off of the moon. You'd be a little bit closer. So you could utilize the moon as a way station. You say to me, Tony, what in the world has gotten into you? Nothing. When Ronald Reagan spoke of Star Wars, right? And the idea of being able to defend oneself. And they called it that, right? They called it Star Wars. And Ronald Reagan was saying, guys, we need to be able to engage what is known as SDI, Strategic Defense Initiative. We need to be able to have these systems to be able to keep us safe from attack. He was right. And this is the precursor to what we see in Israel with Iron Dome. He was right about the concept. He was ahead of his time. Well, the race for space is on in ways we cannot imagine, and not to be able to find what is over the hill. Not old, but literally over the hill. Why do you think people explore? I am a believer in the and not even a believer, supporter of exploration. the value in exploration is hard to quantify. We are, as human beings, meant to go see what's next. What is over the hill? What is over the horizon? You have to get on the ship and see. You see that spot where the horizon ends and nothing is left? What's after that? That's who we are. And it's beautiful. It is, if anything makes up the human experience, it is that, to see what is next. For example, I'm not a man of many fears. Death is one of them. And it's irrational because it's going to happen. But I do. Absolutely. But one of the things that I fear is missing out. Which I don't even know if that constitutes a fear, but rather an interest. I want to see what happens next. I want to see how it all turns out. I want to know. Don't you want to know? And some people are like, nope, but it's my time. I'm good. Thank you, Cleveland. Good night. I'm out. Gotta go. Bye-bye. Later. Some people will be like, yep, ready. And I don't know, maybe based on health or other things, I'll be like, yeah, I'm okay. I've seen enough of this. Thank you. But I do. I want to see what's next. I want to see what's over the hill, what's past the mountaintop. I want to see what goes on past that point in the horizon. You should want to go to the moon because that's what's next. You should want to go to Mars. You should want to investigate because that's what's next. And I'm just a believer. Now, should it be $3 billion of government money? Ah, can I tell you that NASA's the only place where, to quote Ayn Rand, I have real contradiction? Of course it shouldn't be. Of course, this shouldn't be where tax money goes. This is not a function of government. But I love it so much. I get it. It is the only subject where you could say hypocrite, and I'll be like, yeah, yep, absolutely. I give. I know that I'm wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm fully aware. But I love it. I think what is making me move in a place of I question $3 billion is SpaceX, is Blue Marble. Look, not all these things are going to work, but the idea that the private world is engaged in this exploration, I think, is incredible. But the other reason I still hold that we should be involved is because of China and this conversation about the dark side of the moon. China sends probes to be able to establish, A, where do they think the water's going to be? And B, setting up shop to be able to have some first strike advantage and more control over what goes on with, let's say, satellites, easier access to them. There are some things we should not do because it's not in our best interest. There are some things we should not do because it has a cost that provides little value. I no longer can say to you that us involving government in space travel provides little value. I think that the entirety of the moon launch created great value for the nation. And then as we stopped innovating, it created little value, and we weren't going places. We weren't really doing things. The International Space Station, not enough. Then the private sector got in. It's like, okay, they can handle this. We don't need to be involved on a federal level at all. Then you see what China's doing. You see what other nations want to do, and you say, okay, we have to be involved. You and I may be interested in this for just simply the concept of exploration. That is not true of our enemies. It is not true of their desires. They are in it for a solely and wholly different purpose. Now, you can say to me, Tony, you don't think the United States is in it for a wholly different purpose? Yeah, maybe they are. But one could argue that purpose keeps us alive compared to what China would like to do if they had the opportunity to apply pressure to us because they had this advantage. It goes back to this conversation, which I consider to be a bit of madness, regarding Tucker Carlson and Joe Rogan over the nuclear, the atomic bomb and the bombing of Nagasaki and Hiroshima in World War II. And Tucker saying, you know, we have people who defend the use of that weapon and how awful and how ridiculous, and the people died. It's just they're almost giddy over, people on the right giddy over what we did, and it's just disgusting and despicable. You could argue that the creation of an atomic weapon is an awful thing. You cannot argue with any rational basis that utilizing of Fat Man and Little Boy didn't end the war and save hundreds of thousands of lives. I live in the real world as a grown-up. And as a grown-up, I deal with what I have, what is reality. And the reality is the Japanese were never going to stop. Taking island after island after island was going to lead to the deaths of hundreds of thousands of Americans. The Imperial Japanese had to be stopped, and this was the way to do it. Could it have been done without it? Yes. What the cost would have been? Great. The point is, someone was going to die. Now, that might upset, and that might offend, and that might anger, and that might give somebody the sads. But it is still real. So could we please deal with what's real? And if I were to be asked whether or not that someone should be a United States soldier or those from the nation that attacked us, my answer is clear. But Tony, you're going to kill more people than soldiers. You're going to kill innocent civilians. We were attacked, and those people were innocent. So let's not have that as a conversation that is somehow the basis of a policy. The debate that took place, I was not there. I was not alive. It was intense and it was heavy. And it's okay to still continue a debate about when to utilize levels of force. But I believe that history will show and has shown that the decision was difficult but correct in what was saved for America. The world might say, how dare you? But honestly, I don't care. And I want to know why I should. If you tell me we should have peace in our time, I'll tell you I agree. But now I'll point you to Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran, which is the funder of both of those proxies. I can point you to tribes throughout Africa. Never mind cartels in Southern and Central America. Never mind what we are seeing right here in the U.S. I can point you to things and moments and ask you what the plan is. If women are getting punched in the face in the streets of New York, is the plan not to punch back? Hit with a bat? You see a man punch a woman in the face, 40 guys should beat the living daylights out of that guy. It's the same mathematics, just a different utilization of tool. You're going to tell me no? You're going to tell me we should be nicer? Okay, we should be nicer, but that guy is still punching that woman in the face. Hamas murders 1,200, rapes, sets babies on fire, and then kidnaps and still holds hostages to this day. Was it 200 days later? So Israel goes to destroy Hamas. Innocent people are dying. Yes, Hamas should give up the hostages. Hamas still sends rockets. Hezbollah sends rockets. And the answer is Israel should just sit there and say, we should be nicer. It's a level of foolhardiness. You want to stop the thing before it begins. I agree with you. But once the thing has begun, doesn't that change the rules, the engagement, the reality? I want to stop it too. That's why they had a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas until Hamas flew in the paragliders and started raping people. The rules changed. And the rules changed with Japan when they attacked Pearl Harbor and they simply wouldn't quit. They wouldn't give up. So we had to make them understand that Hirohito was not a god and make them surrender in broad daylight to bring shame upon those who engaged the attack. Why do we explore? Why are we engaged in space? Because we should see what's next. And why do we need to be a nation that focuses on things like the moon? Because nations that want to hurt us are. And it sucks, and it's reality. But if you have an idea how to change the first part, get nations not to want to hate us, yeah, I'd be down for that, for sure. I'm Tony Katz.
Today, standing up for basic values that we hold in Idaho and we hold across the country. Like, I don't know, pregnant people should be safe.
Pregnant people, not mothers, not women, they're there supporting abortion for everybody there in Idaho, but still can't mention that only women get pregnant. Dear Lord, ideology rots the brain. Find everything at TonyKatz.com tomorrow, everyone. Take care.